Sundays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The presidential candidates hit Pennsylvania hard. CBS's Weijia Zhang reports Vice President Harris is in Erie and former President Donald Trump campaigns in suburban Philadelphia.
Both presidential hopefuls are pitching voters in Pennsylvania, a state they are targeting relentlessly. 20 trips for former President Trump and 10 for Vice President Harris since becoming the nominee.
So Pennsylvania, today I ask you, are you ready to make your voices heard?
If we win Pennsylvania, we win the whole thing. It's over.
CBS News Director of Surveys Anthony Salvanto says polls reveal supporters are willing to accept their candidates' messages.
The condition of the economy. Two-thirds of Harris voters saying it's good. They're also more likely to say the stock market is up for the year. 9 in 10 Trump voters saying it's bad. Less likely to say things like the U.S. has added jobs or the stock market is up.
One person is in custody after reports of threats made to FEMA personnel in North Carolina. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
A 44-year-old man from North Carolina was arrested after allegedly making threats to FEMA employees involved in Hurricane Helene recovery efforts in North Carolina this weekend. William Jacob Parsons of Bostic, North Carolina, was arrested Saturday, charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor of going armed to the terror of the public.
Heading to Israel, a U.S. missile defense system and almost 100 troops to operate it. This after Hezbollah launched a deadly drone attack on an Israeli base, killing at least 4 soldiers. CBS's Rami Innocencio.
The Pentagon said that this new deployment is part of broader adjustments to keep supporting Israel and to keep protecting Americans who live here from attacks from Iran and militias across this region that are also aligned with that country.
The Lebanese Red Cross says an Israeli airstrike in northern Lebanon has killed at least 21 people. The Nobel Prize in Economics is awarded to 3 U.S. professors, Darren Acemoglu, Simon Johnson from MIT, and James Robinson with the University of Chicago. They found that free societies are more likely to prosper. KCBS's Matt Bigler has the results of a big pumpkin contest.
What do we got? 2, 4, 7, 1.
Heavy enough to take first place at the World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off, but not break the world record, which winner Travis Ginger did last year with his over 2,700-pound gourd. I asked the Minnesota farmer how he gets his pumpkins so incredibly huge.
We take the biggest seeds from the biggest pumpkins worldwide and cross them.
The seeds from some of these award-winning pumpkins will sell for $30 to $40 a pop in addition to the prize money of $9 per pound. Matt Bigler for CBS News. Half Moon Bay, California.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Kamala Harris campaign is busy blitzing Wisconsin. Running mate Tim Walz stumped in Green Bay and Eau Claire Monday. First Lady Jill Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders were in Wisconsin too. Harris herself will be in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay on Thursday. People in southwest Wisconsin are learning how to talk to each other about politics. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
So many of us have experienced the awkwardness and frustration of a political argument during Thanksgiving dinner. A group of about 2 dozen people got together in Dodgeville to talk about how politics has hurt their relationships with family and loved ones. It was put together by a group called Braver Angels. A Marquette survey found 46% of people have had to just stop talking politics altogether with someone they know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers jumped out to a 24-0 lead and went on to beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-13 in front of nearly 78,000 fans at Lambeau Field in the rain. Jair Alexander asked how important it was for Green Bay to finally get back-to-back wins this season.
It's major. It's hard to win in this league and to, you know, get 2 in a row. I mean, that's even better. Now let's try to get 3.
Romeo Doubs with 2 touchdown catches. Christian Watson with a 44-yard touchdown reception interception in the south end zone. Is it true they drew that one up on the sidelines?
100%. I mean, that was something that we didn't even have a game plan. We knew we could take a shot. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as we called the play, I knew that it was coming.
NBA, the Bucks host the Bulls tonight in preseason action. College hoops, longtime Wisconsin basketball head coach Bo Ryan inducted last night into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
It was my supreme honor to coach you. I will cherish the memories we share for the rest of my life. Thank you.
For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with some showers around this evening, then overnight some clearing with frost possible. Morning low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and highs in the upper 40s to near 50 for tomorrow. A hard freeze and frost likely tomorrow night. It's 42 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're going to be talking about what's at stake for you economically in the upcoming election. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. Oh, I'm going really fast. It must be a holiday.
Yeah.
And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Great tagline. I love it. I always say that. I'm very consistent. So when my dementia starts creeping in, I will be still be able to do the show for a couple more years, I think.
Yeah, that's a catchy one that they have for sure.
So, hey, happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, today is a definite good day to be Indigenous here on Turtle Island. Shout out to all of our relatives in four directions, wherever you may be today on Turtle Island. We hope you're having a celebratory and happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, we do. And we've been out a little bit, and you got up before I did. Tell the audience what you did. It's pretty awesome.
I was. Yeah. So before we started the morning off at the sunrise ceremony at Baday Makoska in Minneapolis, I joined our friend on Native Roots Radio, Rachel Banks Kupcho, in the lake, in the freezing cold lake.
Baday Makoska.
Baday Makoska. And yeah, it was fun. It was my first polar plunge, as they call it. I learned about the health benefits. They do this often. I think like once a week.
Oh, that's me. I think, oh, maybe not. Where's that echo coming from? Are you muted?
I am, yeah.
Huh, that's weird.
Well, I don't know what happened. It sounded good on my end.
Weird.
How about now?
Yes.
Yes, testing 1, 2, 3.
No echo there.
Okay.
Wow.
We're cool. Better.
Right on. So you started out early, and then I saw you a little later, but it was cool that you were in the lake. And talk about that. I heard you kind of talk a little bit about that with Wendy.
Oh, okay. So we went in the lake, and since it was my first time, they kind of had me go in slowly. So what I thought, I was surprised we didn't have wetsuits on, kind of, but I guess that defeats the whole purpose of your body and skin reacting to the cold water. But anyways, we walked in and you go kind of like chest down. So you get your heart below the waterline, and your first kind of like reaction is to, you know, get out of the water because it's cold. But I promise you, if you keep walking in there and just get your chest below that water level and you sit in there, it doesn't have to be for too long. Just, I think I was maybe in there for less than 5 minutes. And yeah, I just, you know, go back up, walk up. People were so surprised that we were in the water. People started to gather on the beach for the sunrise ceremony. And yeah, it was fun. I know Rachel did a good interview with Care 11. They were very interested in what we were doing. I know Rachel's a veteran. She does her cold water plunges quite a bit. But
right.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then you were with a couple of our relatives from Ho-Chunk too, which I thought was really cute because it must have been dark when you did that.
Yeah.
And what happened was that I saw the Lone Tree sisters later and they said, where's Haley? We want to meet her when it's light out.
Yeah, because this whole water plunge thing was pre-sunrise ceremony. So the sun was not up. Yeah, it was very dark. There was still steam like coming off of the water, the surface. It was beautiful, though. I don't know if people listening haven't had a chance to go to Thomas Beach, Bidet Makoska in Minneapolis. But you can see the Minneapolis skyline from across the lake. It's beautiful. The Kuwait Strong triathlon happens there every year. And part of that triathlon is canoeing across the lake.
Well, what's exciting too is we want to do the show really fast today. So we're going to talk really fast so we can get to, so we can get to the powwow, right? It starts at 5 at the Minneapolis Indian Center, which is about 10 minutes from where we're at here. And we'll talk really fast. And then we got some really groovy guests, but we went to that. And then I went to American Indian Magnet School and they had it going on over there.
They did. There were so many people tabling, so many different great organizations in our community, so many familiar faces. The American Indian Family Center of St. Paul was out there. Wakan Tipi from St. Paul.
Minnesota History Center.
Yeah,
they were out there, the big shots, and we're going to have her on tomorrow.
Yeah, speaking of Rita Arndt, we did see her, Rita from the Minnesota Historical Society, who will be joining us every other Tuesday for the next few months.
And then we saw our uncle Jerry Deerling, who is Master of Ceremonies, and a lot of young ones there, which warms my heart. And I saw, of course, Harding High School was there and their kids, and it was at American Indian Magnet School. So there was a lot of young ones bust in there. And I kind of missed the parade, but they seemed to have a really successful feast and a turnout. And it was really fun. So,
wow.
And again, tonight we're going to be going to the powwow.
Yeah, the Minneapolis American Indian Center, the brand new, very nice Indian Center. That starts grand entry at 5 p.m., right?
Right on. Yep, yeah. Definitely. Well, and then today we have a really interesting show. And before they get on, it's really cool. And I think part of that we're still here kind of thing, Haley, is that like we're doing radio. We're Native Americans and we're doing radio. We're still here. It isn't like we're dinosaurs and we've died out and we have people writing books, doing movies, doing TV shows, making music. And things like that that are amplifying our story as Native Americans.
Yeah, we're going to be joined in the next segment here by John Williams, who is the Vice President of Development at NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute. And he's going to be bringing along some good friends of his. They're going to be talking Native love jams.
That's right. The book that came out, and now they're going to make it into a movie. They won an award. There's all these things that are they're happening. But before we get any further, I didn't know John was vice president.
He is. That's VP.
That's cool. I did not know that. Well, he has a new title next time I see him. And today I saw him earlier and he had those unbelievably cool pants, pants.
Ribbon jeans.
Yes, jeans. Thank you.
Wanda thinks they were pretty cool too.
Wanda loves our show.
She does. She's our biggest fan.
Maybe we could open that door and shoo her out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Next commercial break.
Yeah. Well, and today, again, a happy Indigenous Peoples Day. And I have to say, one of my all-time favorite shows was The Sopranos. And they had a clip I saw floating around and how they were mad that they were trying, they were being erased in Columbus Day. And I remember watching that show, and they went down and beat up the Indian protesters down in the city.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Wow.
It's like, yeah, the 90s were great.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of this, this reminded me of something that we talk about on the show is like, we're not a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And this was a very random thing. I was at a pumpkin patch. I'm not going to say where.
Oh.
There was a sign. Yeah. There was a sign that said Native Americans used to use pumpkin seeds for medicine. Oh. And it was interesting. I know we have about a minute left here until break, but it was interesting because they were trying to acknowledge us, right,
yeah,
as Native Americans. But they did that in the past tense by saying used, like we don't use that anymore, or we don't use traditional medicines anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're still here.
And we know that, and we talk about that on Native Roots Radio, and there's yeah, we saw a lot of people down there and a lot of medicines, and they're everywhere. So we're really excited to have these guys on. And that next up, we'll be seeing John Williams and his crew. And I can't wait to hand over the show to John, because he's an expert here on Native Roots Radio and the book. And I just saw him go, what? Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Fossil fuel camps, like pipeline and oil drilling villages, are increasing violence against our indigenous sisters. Temporary workers from these camps have led to a surge in sexual assaults. In North Dakota, assaults on women rose by 75% after man camps arrived during the 2000s oil boom. We must hold big oil companies accountable for this violence and demand action. By electing leaders that prioritize the health and safety of our indigenous communities, we can fight back. Our vote is our voice. It's time to use it to protect our people, stand up for climate justice, and ensure a safe future for our next generations. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, is about strengthening our Native communities. MVAT is here to boost our voter turnout and spark important conversations about the issues that matter most to us. Find your early voting location at sos.state.mn.us. Let's make voting a tradition so we can fight for the safety of our communities. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, those are our friends. And speaking of friends, we have John Williams and Elizabeth Day on here. And John, we have Tasha Hart, too. She just jumped on here. Great. And we're going to be talking about the casting call for Native Love Jams, the movie. But I just want to get John on right away and talk a little bit about the book and then, of course, the movie and what you guys are doing. So really excited. And this is definitely doing this kind of work is definitely land back work, and it's definitely we're still here work. And so we're happy and proud to amplify your voices today.
Right on. Thank you, Robert. How are you?
Pretty good. It was good seeing you today. And I always like those. I was corrected by Haley. Those are jeans. Those are sacred ribbon jeans.
I don't know how sacred they are. I feel sacred wearing them. Anita Lovelace, she made them for me. I had this idea that I wanted some ribbon jeans and I don't know how to sew. So I Lena's from Little Earth and does star quilts for everyone. Here's my cat.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Hi, Haley.
Hey, John. Good to see you again. Thanks for coming. And we're excited to talk to you guys about Native Love Jams, which is going to be the film based off of the novel written by Tasia Hart.
That's right. We've got Elizabeth Day here and Tasia Hart. And I don't really know how to form it because all three of us are in this together. But I kind of wanted to interview Elizabeth and Tasia. They're our two creative people on the film. And so I don't know where you want me to start, Robert. You want to ask some questions? Anybody?
Well,
anybody. I'm just kidding.
My first question is, what is your favorite Native-centric radio show? No, just kidding.
Well, that's a given.
No, but excited about the process. And how did the process start, first of writing the book and coming up to it? And then really the next process is, how did you three find each other?
Well, that's the fun story. But should we do it? I want to feature these guys a little, but can we do a couple of introductions?
Great call.
All right. Elizabeth, why don't you go?
Hi, Buju. My name's Elizabeth Day. I was born in Cass Lake. I'm from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and then grew up in the Twin Cities area. And this is my dog, Scruffy.
Scruffy.
Cute.
Scruffy.
So he might be loud. Well, I'll try to mute him quiet. But
no, this is a pet-friendly show. We have dogs barking and cats meowing all the time here, and we're and my wife Wendy talks about our sacred animals, so this fits right in there. So bark away, Scruffy.
I am co-producing and the director of Native Love Jams. So I'll let Tasia introduce herself.
Hey, Buju. Thanks for having us on. Dindiskwe Indigu, Tasia Hart, Shaganashimo, Indigenous Cause. I'm from Red Lake. My name is Tasia Hart. I'm the writer. I wrote the novel Native Love Jams and then turned it into a screenplay. And I'm just really excited to be on the show.
Awesome. Right. Thanks a lot. Let's hear how you guys met, John.
Well, the story goes back to Tasia writing the novel during NACD's and All My Relations Native Authors cohort. I don't know how much you guys know about that, but it started in 2021, Tasia?
2020.
And then Tasia was in the first cohort. That cohort was mentored by Diane Wilson, our good friend and celebrated author. But Tasia, can you tell us a little about that experience?
Yeah, that was that was an amazing experience. In 2020, I was invited to be a part of the program. And of course, COVID had just hit. And I was just in the process of trying to figure out what my next work of fiction was going to be. And so in the group, there was, I believe, seven other Native women writers, and of all ages, and most were older than me. And that was amazing to hear their stories. And so how it went was that how I work as a writer is I work out of a dream journal. I'll write any notable dreams that I have down. And then that's what seeds all of my fiction work. And so in 2020, basically when I submitted my first round for critique, what I submitted was just like my dream journal, a majority of my dream journal. And it had some really bizarre dreams, some kind of weird dreams, some that were, you know, there was like, you know, violent based, you know, just based on experience. And then there was one dream that was, about the wilderness and a young couple. And so, my second round of submissions, I had thought really hard on the group of women that I was sharing with. And I knew that it was going to be at least a year-long program. And I thought about, you know, what do I want to bring? What kind of words do I want to bring and share? And it really made me think about, you know, community and how we affect each other with our words and our stories. And I decided that I wanted to bring words of like love and joy. And so I picked that dream seed. And that's how Native Love Jams was born.
Wow. Wow.
And then you took that experience, Tashia, and you self-published in 2022 or 2023?
2023.
Elizabeth, in this interim, while Tashia's publishing a novel that she wrote, you were directing a feature-length documentary. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah, this is my first directorial of a feature film. It's called Without Arrows. And it will be broadcast on Independent Lens this winter. We'll have a big announcement for the release coming up in the beginning of December. So you'll have to hold off on the broadcast date for a minute, but it'll be on Independent Lens. And so Without Arrows is, it's the story of a Lakota family. My co-director, John Olszewski, had been filming the Fiddler family on the Cheyenne Sioux River Tribe Reservation for 13 years. And the story starts with our main protagonist, Delwyn Fiddler Jr., living in Philadelphia and making the decision to move back to his reservation and rediscovering his roots and being with his mom and dad and becoming a father himself. And it's just a really beautiful portrait of a family. And I'm starting to get really nervous about the broadcast. It's a really vulnerable position to be in, hoping that I, you know, did everyone justice and help share a beautiful story without sanitizing it, but not being manipulative or salacious in any kind of way. So we edited it for 2 years, and actually, it'll the theatrical version will be at the Twin Cities Film Festival at the Icon Cinema Showcase in November. I think November is a Sunday, November 13th at 2 p.m. I'll have to double check on. But if you want to see it in the theater, the theatrical version of it, it'll play then. So, that's what I'm working on currently. And then I read Tashia's book, Native Love Jams. I'm a slow reader, okay? I admit that about myself. I'm not a fast reader. And it was a rainy Saturday afternoon, and I opened up Tashia's book and read it cover to cover in one sitting. And it was just so funny and lighthearted and just joyful and like a little steamy. And I was like, oh my God, this could really be a movie. And I called Tashia and she thought that would be fun to do.
That's awesome.
Right on.
That's awesome. We got a less than a minute, John, to go. And I want to know from Tashia how difficult it is to transpose your book into a treatment, into a script, and what all is put in there, John. Do we have like direction, the person looks into the camera, and or the person runs to the left, and or is that up to the director? So I want to talk a little bit about that, and of course what you want to talk about, and you're going to have a reading here, and that's kind of the main thing that we want to talk about. And we got a minute left, John, so spew out some good stuff here in this next minute.
Well, sure. I just wanted to point out, I'm kind of bragging for her, but Elizabeth's also directed short films. She has a wonderful film called Sunshine, And I saw the documentary in two phases, and it was really kind of...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Kamala Harris stumps in Erie, Pennsylvania, and unveils economic proposals targeting black men. Former President Donald Trump at a town hall event in suburban Philadelphia says of the Harris campaign...
We're running against a very powerful and a very corrupt machine.
A North Carolina man is now charged with a misdemeanor in connection with threats Rutherford County authorities say were made against FEMA workers. More from CBS's Jim Crisula.
The agency had pulled some of its staff out of the county over the weekend because of threats against FEMA.
Israel says a Hezbollah drone attack killed at least four Israeli soldiers, and now the U.S. is sending a missile defense system to Israel, as well as troops to operate it. CBS's Raimi Innocencio reports from Tel Aviv.
The Pentagon said that this new deployment is part of broader adjustments to keep supporting Israel and to keep protecting Americans who live here from attacks from Iran and militias across this region that are also aligned with that country.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The woman accused in the notorious Slender Man 10 years ago is trying to get out of a state psychiatric hospital. Morgan Geiser and Anissa Wire were in middle school when they attacked a classmate in Waukesha and nearly killed her. Wire was released 3 years ago. A Fond du Lac County woman and three teenagers are accused of going on a poaching rampage, Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The suspects are accused of killing more than 100 deer over a 14-month period, often shooting animals at night using spotlights and just leaving them there. Authorities also report that the group allegedly took part in other wildlife abuses, including intentionally hitting deer with cars and harassing various animals such as geese, raccoons, and turtles. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Succession star Jeremy Strong does not miss being on the popular show. That might surprise some people, as it was an immensely popular show and won a slew of awards. Oftentimes it is mentioned as one of the best TV shows ever. Strong says he owes a lot to Succession, but the show messed him up. Strong says carrying the troubles of his character Kendall Roy for 7 years was almost too much. How much is too much? When asked if he would consider a spinoff where his character would be the star, he said it is not something he wishes to do. When an actor is willing to turn down millions of dollars, I tend to believe them. The film The Apprentice, about the life of Donald Trump and starring Sebastian Stan, has been given mostly good reviews, but it is getting torched by one critic in particular, who called it a politically disgusting hatchet job made by human scum. Any idea who that critic might be? Former President Donald Trump slammed the film, but it's doubtful many people saw his post because it was on Truth Social. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with some showers around this evening, then overnight some clearing with frost possible. Morning low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and highs in the upper 40s to near 50 for tomorrow. A hard freeze and frost likely tomorrow night. Currently 40 degrees.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach,
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans. You can call or text them for free anytime at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, we're here with our friend John Williams. And John, I want you to take over the show and tell our audience how you guys met and started working together. And that sounds like a cool story to start this next segment on.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. It's been such a, the story is developing, but it couldn't be better so far. Elizabeth and I worked together at NACDI. Elizabeth was in charge of a couple of our programs at NACDI, MVAT and our food sovereignty programs. And that's how we met. And we kind of knew right when we met each other that something was going to come of this. I don't know what. But to get everybody in the picture, Tashia went through the Native Authors Program, published her book. Elizabeth, film director, worked at NACDI, needed to move on to work on her documentary, and did that. I saw the rough cut of Without Arrows, and I realized very quickly how talented Elizabeth is. And so I told her, I said, whatever your next project is, I want to help. And that's all I said, Robert. That's all I got myself into, I thought.
Hey.
And then Elizabeth came in like in September over to Powwow Grounds in NACDI. And I had picked up Native Love Jams because it was one of our Native authors. And I didn't know Tashia then. Elizabeth knew both of us. And so I read it. And Elizabeth said, this is the next project. And she, did you have the book with you? I can't remember, but I was like, that's it. And so you tell the rest of it, Elizabeth. We're back in November of last year.
Okay. Oh, so I had met Tashia because I was friends with her husband, Jonathan Thunder. And we just met through that friendship. And it just was like, now I have another sister. It was awesome. And it was always fun to hang out with those two. And now with Minnow, their son. But okay. So we're like, okay, yes, let's do this. Let's make a movie. This is going to take some time. You know, just it takes time to get movies going. And then that was in the fall. And then in December, we're like, there is a pitch competition that we can apply for. It's through the Minnesota Film Festival, an amazing film festival in Duluth. I highly recommend it. Let's apply for their pitch competition. That way we can start thinking about how do we as a group want to start talking about this movie. We can get some writing done. And then as we, you know, go through time, we can have some writing that we can copy and paste and start applying for grants and do some development work. Fast forward to January, we are a finalist in the pitch competition. And we're like, oh my God. Okay. So we're really going to do this. We're really just going to pitch. I'm like, don't stress about this. We will pitch this movie 100 times. This is just, let's just practice and get it out of the way. And just go through the process once, just as a learning deal. We won the pitch competition. Ah! And through that, the right people being in the right room, Mandy June Turpin, who's a producer, we caught her attention. And it's one of those things too, like they teach you in film school, you know the elevator pitch, because sometimes all you have is 30 seconds with someone. And someone brought me into a room with her, and it was like kind of a mingling situation, and everyone was walking out the door, and Carrie Bush from the Upper Midwest Film Office said, Mandy, you have to meet Elizabeth. She has a movie. And I said, two native chefs go berry picking and fall in love in a berry patch. And she's like, love it. Let's meet tomorrow. And I called John. He was at the film festival. He had already left. I'm like, you're going to have to turn around and come back.
He had already left.
John already left.
Yeah. And I turned around and came back. And we sat down with Mandy June Turpin for 2.5 hour meeting, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And there was just so much excitement. We were so excited. Well, and I have to tell you, that same night that we won the pitch competition, Elizabeth won as best local filmmaker for Without Arrows.
Wow.
So she cleaned up with statues that night. But we were stunned. We were just sitting there stunned. And we rehearsed the pitch for like weeks. Patricia and Elizabeth got up there and then they improv'd a little bit. They got huge laughs. Mandy June didn't even come to the pitch, or she wasn't at the pitch. Carrie Bush was. So I just want to call Carrie up because she heard it. She called Mandy. Mandy's a for real producer producing up in Duluth for Lifetime and for Hallmark. So Carrie is a good friend. Patricia, what were your recollections of that pitch?
I just remember making funny sounds that made Elizabeth laugh during the pitch.
Tishia
said, oi, 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 oi.
Like cartoon sounds?
A couple. One.
Okay, I like that.
I remember I was so nervous that I took more CBD than I meant to. For my nerves, and I was like a little loopy when we were practicing for like 2 hours before, and then I finally snapped out of it and I was like, oh my god, and then I was just like, this is gonna be awesome.
That was funny because everybody was so keyed up and Tashia looked a little loopy. We were like, are you okay, what's going on? And she told us she took too much CBD, and then we all got the giggles for like 20 minutes. And then, like, everything was okay. Everything just went perfectly.
Hmm. Wow.
So we won an award, and we got a little bit of money for that. So that allowed us to begin and start Native Love Jams Productions, LLC, which will be the mechanism we use to receive funding to produce the film.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So how difficult is it from moving a book to a screen teleplay, a treatment? How hard is that? Nobody wants to answer that.
Oh, I'll
you're the writer.
Yeah. So that it was quite a process. I want to give a shout out to Mona Susan Power, who was guest editor. She's an amazing award-winning author. And she was one of our guests. She was a guest editor for the Native Authors Program back in 2021, I believe. We were getting close to coming to a close with the program. And I had like a framework of the book, and I had some, you know, chapters written and such. And I submitted it to her, and she made a comment that she said, I love it. You know, I could see it as a book and a movie. And like, I hadn't thought of that, you know, until she said that. And so from that point forward, I have had zero experience writing a screenplay. Right. So, but I tried to make it very like not a whole lot of extra words, right? Because I knew that it would have to get edited down. And so Native Love Jams is actually like 150 some pages of a book. And when I was but 152 pages of a book is a short book, but it's a whopper of a screenplay, right? So, yeah, like basically what I did was I took the book and I put it into this amazing software called Final Draft, which will help, like, you can format to professional standards with this program. And so I edited just a little bit, and I still had 152 pages. And at that point, we were still sort of talking amongst ourselves with Mandy, like, well, we don't know, is it going to be a film? Is it going to be a series? Like, maybe don't edit it down just yet. And so I sat on it for like 2 months. And during that time, I read and about writing screenplays. I watched a ton of YouTube videos about professionals talking about how to make screenplays. And when I went back to it 2 months later, I just cut everything that wasn't like physical action, immediate description. And then I got it down. I think it was like 110 pages when we had our first read through, and it was still kind of clunky. And that was in August, I think, we had our first read through of the script. But yeah, so like in a book, you can give a lot of backstory if you want, but you can't really do that with a movie. Like, so instead of like writing two paragraphs of backstory, it was like, well, I'll write a montage, like a fun montage, you know what I mean? Like, so it's all visual and you don't have to say anything. And I found, I'm just like, I'm in love with it now. Like, I'm finding this next work that I'm working on, which is like the second installation to Native Love Jams, which stars Melanie, who is a character in Native Love Jams. She's not the main character in Native Love Jams, but she's the cousin and like the best friend to the main character, one of the main characters. And I'm finding that my process is a lot different this time around.
That's amazing, because I'm a big David Lynch fan, and he said, you know, you have 70 scenes, how to, and get three by five cards. If you have 70 scenes, you have a full length movie. That's or a feature film. That's amazing. Just to break it down like that, John, again, take the show over here. This is exciting. What's the next thing you want to talk about? We got a minute left in this segment.
Well, we've got some really great, exciting time crunch things happening in the next 7 weeks. And so when we come back from break, we want to talk about that. You know, Robert John Ford, the director, said, someone asked him what makes a great movie. And he said, three great scenes and no bad ones.
Yeah. I like that. Except I don't like John Ford, right? Oh, wow.
I know, but he said it. But yeah, it was fascinating to hear to watch Toshiya's process. Elizabeth and I and Mandy were like blown away that Toshiya could take a novel and condense it and break it down. And the story is funny. And Elizabeth and I were the first readers of the screenplay. So a little embarrassing. But we did it. So yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about what's upcoming.
Right on. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be back, and we're going to howl with Howling for Wolves first. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Make voting a tradition empowers Native American communities through civic engagement. For nearly a decade, MVAT has increased voter turnout by encouraging friends, family, and neighbors to get involved. By building trust and community engagement, MVAT ensures Native voices help shape the future. This election season, voting is easier than ever. Minnesota voters can cast their ballots early so elders and busy voters can avoid the rush of Election Day. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us and let's make voting a tradition for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl!
Nice.
Howl. Hey, right on. Hey, we are back, and we're talking about the movie Native Love Jams, and maybe we can start talking a little bit about the casting call. Where were John Williams, Tashia Hart, and Elizabeth Day, who are really making their community proud and doing this work? We're still here, and it sounds really exciting, John.
Yeah, we wanted to, well, Tashia wrote the novel, and then when Elizabeth and I read it, and as Elizabeth said, it was so fun. It was so... It was just so unlike most Native stories we're hearing these days. And this is, I don't mean this to say that the work that's being done isn't fantastic and I stand 100% behind it, but we wanted to do something that wasn't rooted in trauma. We wanted to tell a story that celebrated the joy of how Native people are falling in love in complicated and hilarious ways. And Tashia wrote a fantastic book, and then she did a fantastic job with the screenplay. Elizabeth's gonna direct. Elizabeth and I, and now Mandy Turpin, will be producing the film. And we are in a situation right now where we have some investors that are interested. And so we're going to put on a table read on December 5th at the Main Cinema. Thank you to the Film Society for helping us with that event. And because of that, we need to cast. We need some actors to do the table read. So we are doing a casting call, and I don't know how it's gonna go. We're not quite sure how to do it, but Haley, I just sent you the Instagram post for it, which has the date on it, but it also has our email. So if you are interested in auditioning for Native Love Jams, it will be Saturday, November 2nd. We'll be doing the auditions at All My Relations Arts. The way to reach us is nativelovejams25@gmail.com.
Yes. Do people, so people have to book an audition with you guys if they want to come try out?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. And you're accepting people of all ages, all sizes and everything like that?
Yep. Right on the note there, all ages, all sizes, all genders.
Yeah. Is it too early to ask to see if you guys need a key grip or best boy on this movie? I'm just
we do.
Getting my resume going here.
We do need. Oh, also casting and crew. We need Native crew too. All crew, catering, wardrobe, best boy, grip, all of it. We wanna hire as many Native cast and crew as possible. Another note too about casting is if you wanna audition for any role, I want everyone to feel welcome and open to read for any role you want to, regardless of gender, regardless of ability. We want to find the right actor for the right character. we're not set in stone. If a character needs to be rewritten in a different gender, we're open to that discussion. So everyone should come. If your heart is in it, we want to open this opportunity up for everyone. So.
Is there a part for an old radio host, Grandpa Choka Hoa?
Well, it's funny you say that, Robert, because for the table read, we need a narrator, and we'll be looking for narrators. And yeah.
He's all excited. He's looking at me like, that's me.
I just won an award for narrating a documentary. And
right on.
Yeah, in the Madison, Wisconsin. The trophy's like really heavy.
Dang.
Yeah, so I can add that to my resume. I just I'll bring it to your office and we can hand it around to people. It's silver, so I'll bring the silver cloth too. So the fingerprints.
Right on.
Yeah. We just need to hear you say interior community center day.
Yeah.
When I walks into the community center holding a boiling pot.
Well, I'll work on that before I do embarrass myself on live radio. Ho-wah.
Oh, the table read is December 5th. Did we mention that? Thursday, December 5th at the beginning.
Invitation will be going out probably within the next 3 weeks. We are hoping to get our Native community support. We're hoping to get film community support so that when the as the investors are there, they can see how strong our community is.
Yeah. This will be a fundraising event. We need to raise the money to get it shot. So if you're interested in investing and we're putting together a package of information because Minnesota has some really great tax incentives that you get a full return on your investment. So, but that information will be in the packet.
Absolutely. That's great. And what are those called? They're called media kits, right?
Pitch decks, media kits, sponsorship opportunities it's all kinds of different things, but it's a prospectus, really. We're looking for investors. And with the structure and with the timeliness of this story, with the success of Res Dogs, with the tremendous success of Lily Gladstone, we know that Native women see movies and can make a movie. And we know that. We want the whole Native community, but obviously women are often choosing what movie we get to see in the theaters. And we can't wait to bring this film to the theaters. We are projecting because we are just manifesting this whole thing, Robert, Haley. I don't want to say we don't know what we're doing. We didn't expect it to go this fast. And so we're scrambling a little, but it makes it kind of more fun. And what we've heard is like, and what we've decided is that there are no rules. We're going to do it our way. We're going to produce this with as much Native talent as humanly possible. We're going to tell a funny, lighthearted story that is, what's our little tagline? Hilarious, romantic, a little resi.
Like that.
That's our story.
Tashaya, how exciting is it to see your characters come to life, at least in the beginning with a read? But that must be just really exciting.
My mind is blown. Yeah. I mean, I guess, well, I've always loved writing and considered myself a writer since I was a child. But be able to hear other people read it and then see it. I don't even know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. John, we got a minute left here. I'm wondering if you could just go over those dates again and how people can get a hold of you all and then for the read.
Yes, nativelovejams25@gmail.com. We are having a casting call on Saturday, November 2nd at the All My Relations Arts Gallery.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we'll talk scary trolley tours in Door County with Carl Sarecki. And our favorite paranormal investigator, Todd Michaels, joins the show to talk ghost stories that are non-trolley related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.